Welcome back, and happy 4th of July. It is July 4th. Like I mentioned, Season 2, Episode 51, Let Me Be Frank Podcast. Brian and Nick here with you. Nick subbing in. Apparently other people take vacations on this day while we're out here grinding, working hard.
Yeah, you know what? You gotta be free every day, and there's gotta be people working who aren't free, but every
nothing day. Says freedom like working on the 4th of July.
Exactly.
Even though it's the 3rd. We are here with you, happy to have you listening on this momentous and beautiful holiday that we have. We'll open up with the least American thing we can, and that's the World Cup knockout stage. We'll just run through the scores real quick and talk about, you know, a couple of the games.
Wait, there's soccer going on?
Yeah, crazy, right? The greatest thing that the World Cup ever did was not play games on the 4th of July. Just a very, very nice hat tip to the United States.
I was going to say, a nice homage to the people who haven't been playing soccer for a couple months anyway.
True patriotism shown by FIFA. But the opening game for the knockout stage, France beats Argentina 4-3. One of the two best players on earth goes down. I think Messi's done for... I think he's going to retire. I think he's done forever. He seems to be sick and tired of playing internationally. I don't even know if he feels like LeBron to me, where I don't even know if he even enjoys playing anymore.
I'm surprised Messi doesn't get as much guff as he, you know, should, for the way he acts every time he loses.
He just stands there.
It's not even the standing there. It's what comes later, right? I could almost guarantee within the next week you're going to have him getting in the face of a fan, or, you know, bitching about his peanuts on the airplane or whatever it is.
Yeah, hopefully he goes on a vacation or something. That guy could probably use one.
Just get him out of here.
So, yeah, France, Kylian Mbappe is the story. 19 years young. Just stupid fast. Could've really freaking good. Yeah, could have been us. The French have a dynamic forward group, a good midfield. Pogba makes up for a lot of the issues, but their defense is terrible. Like, just truly awful.
Which makes it so much fun, because
right. As
American fans, the biggest complaint...
You want goals.
You want goals.
You
right?
want goals.
We're tired of the 1-0s and the 0-0s into the shootouts, which luckily we haven't had that.
Right.
At least all the penalty kicks have come from at least 1-1 games.
Exactly.
But French fans should be excited, because Pogba finally has taken his head out of his French ass, because usually when it comes to the big stage, he hasn't stepped up quite like the way he's been doing lately. So
he likes to throw fits on the big stage.
Right.
This time he's actually playing. The other game that followed that was Uruguay and Portugal. Uruguay is just 3 million people. I don't think people realize how ridiculous that is to be this good at soccer and only have 3 million people. The U.S. is 100 times bigger, and I would argue 100 times worse at soccer. Uruguay wins 2-1. Edinson Cavani was lights out and then got hurt late in the second half. Hopefully he's good to go for their next match against France. But the two best players in the world knocked out within 4 hours of each other.
And I don't feel the same way about Ronaldo, because he had a great, you know, World
really
Cup.
Really good tournament,
He did everything he could, and they fell short. But no one is talking about Uruguay. Like, nobody.
Nobody.
And they end up playing France coming up next now. So it's going to be a battle of two teams that have probably looked the sharpest throughout the entire tournament, I would say, as opposed to
collectively
some teams that are hotter now, but started off a little bit slower.
Right. Yeah, it's one of those things. Luis Suarez is kind of like a Neymar type, where he's always on the ground. He's always complaining for a foul call. But when it comes down to it, he makes plays. And, I mean, that's really what you need. But Cavani with, like, two unbelievable goals, one off his chest and then the other a half-volley one-time strike to the corner. Hopefully he's healthy, because that'll be a lot of fun to watch. But again, 3 million people and they're this good.
Numbers don't lie.
It makes no sense. The host, Russia, stuns the world and beats Spain, who play they play Virginia basketball. That's what they do. That is Spain. They slow the game down. They pass the ball a million times. Never really try and threaten or score. And then now they lose in penalty kicks. They deserved it. Russia deserved to win. They played outstanding defense for 60-ish minutes, especially in the final 45, the last 15 of regulation and 30 of extra time. I mean, Russia has been stunningly good, and I think they've got a realistic shot to make a run.
Yeah, you know, Spain is like my Alabama when it comes to, you know, soccer to football crossover, and I just don't want to see them win again, and I'm glad that we don't have to now. I know that they didn't do so well in the Euro, but everyone, they were like the dark horse pick for a World Cup win. And you look at the roster and you see the names are big, but you don't see them all stepping up together, and that's what happened. And Russia just, you know, took that home field advantage to a whole new level,
yeah,
and took care of business.
Moscow was absolutely nuts during and after that game.
Invest in vodka stocks if you can.
Yeah, oh for my. Real. Croatia and Denmark played arguably the most exciting 5 minutes of soccer ever played, and then the most boring 115 minutes ever played afterwards. A first and fourth minute goal for each team, and then it goes down to penalties. If you're Denmark's goalie, Schmeichel, great name, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Schmeichel, you've got to be just furious. He saved three penalties, one in extra time against the captain, Luka Doncic.
Might as well have been.
Luka Modric, there we go.
Oh, he was and so far off.
Luka Modric, and then saved two additional penalties in the penalty shootout, and they still lose. I would have, I don't know what I'd do, but I'd probably denounce my nationality and go somewhere else.
Yeah, you know, every World Cup we see a goalie play like this, and most of the time they get the win, but this time it just didn't come through. Ochoa did it earlier in the first round, and Tim Howard did it against Belgium, but
Navas,
last World Cup.
It turns into big money for these guys, earned.
Navas signed. He's Real Madrid's goalie now.
Yeah.
And he became the most famous goalie right after a video of him saving tennis balls came out. And then all of a sudden, he gets signed to that big deal. I thank the tennis guy.
Yeah. Brazil beats Mexico 2-0. I mean, we talked about it. Neymar just cannot stay off the ground. Like, yes, he's getting hit sometimes. Some of the shit he does is just so, it's emasculating for himself. Like, you feel secondhand embarrassment for him. Why, you're a grown man. Why are you rolling around on the ground? Why are you doing all these theatrics when you know it doesn't hurt as bad?
Yeah, he gets contacted more than any other player
for
by
sure.
far.
For sure.
But especially
as not heavy contact, though.
Right, and as American fans, we always pride ourselves on the fact that, you know, like, as much as we knock Jozy Altidore, it took a lot to get him down. A couple of El Salvadorian bite marks sent to the ground. But, so when guys go down this easy, it's one of the main reasons why Americans have such a big problem with getting on board. With that being said, though, Brazil looks to be the momentum favorite at the moment, in my opinion, even though they struggled a little bit in the beginning. But, I mean, Mexico is a great team. They were a great story. But
yeah,
they are just, year after year, the round of 16, see you later crew. And
yep.
Now we're not going to really see Ochoa again, maybe not Chicharito again. So it's up to the new guard to kind of step up and hopefully get him past that round that always seems to be taking him down.
Yeah, it's a tough break for Mexico. You know, they looked so good early, and then they just get throttled 3-0 in their final group stage game. And then they draw Brazil, and it's over from there. But
right.
Belgium, 3-2, and what I would call the most exciting game of the tournament.
Oh, by far.
Down 2-0, score 2 in about 5 minutes, and then a 94th-minute dummy from Romelu Lukaku finds his teammate, I don't even remember who was streaking up the side, but hits the back of the net to go up 3-2. The Japanese are absolutely stunned, and Belgium, my pick to win, moves on, and definitely worrisome for me because I picked them. I have money on them. I hope they do well, but it if you can't handle Japan, I don't know what you're going to do with Brazil.
Yeah, that's going to be a great matchup.
Yeah.
Because just the star-studded cast. I mean, if you took Belgium's team and stuck them in any major soccer league, they probably finish top 7 in every single league.
For sure.
I mean, that's not saying too much, but we always make those comparisons of like, oh, would the best college team be the worst NFL team? No, but you know, international soccer teams are a little bit different, but well, I mean, Fellaini, Lukaku, De Bruyne. I mean, they're just so stacked. I mean, even
Hazard.
Courtois,
like there's superstars up and down their line.
Like I'm a pretty passive club soccer fan, and I still recognize and understand the talent of those guys. And then you stick them all together, and it's super dangerous. But give credit to Japan. Everyone was super excited when Japan was up 2-0. At least I was. I know you were not.
I was not. I was just sitting there quietly waiting for my boys to strike.
Yeah, and man, did they. And they didn't even take it into extra time. It was what, 94th minute
when they
went up 3-2. So to come back that late in soccer was by far the most exciting game, no question.
Yeah, and then there were the two games played today, Tuesday, as we're recording, yesterday, if you're listening. Sweden 1-0 over Switzerland. Nothing major happened there. Just Sweden continues to stun without Zlatan Ibrahimovic. But other than that, I mean, the Swiss never really played to their potential. And then England beats Colombia in penalties. Wild, wild round of penalties. But congrats to the English, who they look poised to make a finals run.
My fighting Harry Kane. So yeah. I'm so excited. I always pick them to do a round better than they should, right? So they're my Texas Longhorns in NCAA tournaments.
All right.
Right? So you think they won't go, and they'll go one extra round. Well, that's how I feel about England, and I'm always getting burned. I had them winning the Euro, and they lost to Iceland. Like,
that's a tough break.
Yeah. So going back to that first game, though, that is the game to decide who was the better of the teams that you always confuse in your mind between when you're looking at a map. Where's Sweden? Where's Switzerland?
Yep.
I mean, it's not Slovenia-Slovakia levels of confusion.
That's a tough one.
But and Sweden takes that, so we can almost forget about Switzerland now.
Pretty much.
As a country as a whole.
That was their chance.
Yeah, and you know, you got to wonder if James Rodriguez is healthy, if the result is a little bit different, but Falcao had a great tournament. He was hurt last tournament.
They can't stay healthy.
It was just a trade-off because, I mean, last World Cup was when James Rodriguez became, like, a superstar. He had jumping 3-foot vertical headers, like, at least 2 or 3 times. I remember once against France. And now he's we're just trying to get those guys on the field at the same time.
Right. It's a tough break for him, but that's the knockout stage.
Oh, yeah.
We're into the quarterfinals. Should be a lot of fun. We got a 2-day break, like I said. No games on the 4th of July, no games on the 5th of July. Back in action on Friday with 2 games. But we'll move on here to the NHL. Free agency has come. Canada Day has come and gone. We've had a lot of interesting things, and I think the biggest story in the hockey world was John Tavares.
Easily.
Center of the, formerly of the New York Islanders, had up until midnight to tell the Islanders whether or not he was going to take their the hockey version of the Mega Max. It would have been 8 years for somewhere like $12 or $13 million a year, something like that. Money that no other team could pay him, and he just never said anything as far as we all know. Let the clock run out and then signed the next day with Toronto, claiming it's been a lifelong dream. He's a Toronto guy going back home. Vegas seems to think that this pushes the Leafs into the top spot. They have them as the Stanley Cup favorites right now. I disagree, but obviously when you get a player of Tavares' caliber, it's going to make differences on your team.
Yeah, and Mike Babcock is apparently mulling over the idea of making him the second-line center, which would be extremely interesting. More on his contract, though. He signed the 7 years. There was talks that he was going to do a 1-year deal worth like $15 million, possibly. Which would have made it infinitely more interesting because then it's the year of Tavares. So when I saw the long-term deal, I was a little bit bummed, but then I saw the picture he posted of him sleeping in Toronto Maple Leafs pajamas with the Toronto Maple Leafs sheets. Pillow and the Toronto Maple Leafs sheets, and I was like, you know what? Have him. I still think they need way better goaltending, and the defense could be a little bit better too, but I mean, star-studded forwards up and down, so we'll see what happens.
For sure. It's one of those things you can't really fault a guy for going home.
Like, no, never.
You want to play for your hometown team.
Well, there's one guy, but that's about it.
I will get to that later. it's fine. I don't care. Like, go to Toronto. It's cool. He's a center. Auston Matthews is a center. Arguably one of the best young players in the game that's not named Connor McDavid. You can't knock the kid's development by having to knock him down a line. I think you have to put – you either move Tavares to a wing or you have to make him a second-line center. There's no other way to do it.
Yeah, I think you can develop on the second line, though. That's the thing. I think You could. I think center is the most important position to develop on the second line because you're running that line. So it's kind of like the training wheels, I think, but you're not playing with a better crew, I guess, to say.
Yeah, I don't know if it even makes him better, though, is I guess what I'm going for.
Yeah, like, so it's lateral development for the second line.
Because he's not playing against these star-studded top lines in the Atlantic Division, whatever division they're in.
It's a good problem to have for the Leafs, that's for sure, for a team that has always been the losers. Well, not always, but for quite some time now has been the losers of the NHL.
Before we get to the Hawks, let's just go through the other signings. James Van Riemsdyk is back in Philly. New Jersey guy going to the Flyers. Again, I think it's a 5-year deal. There were rumors the Hawks were interested in him. There have been rumors for about 6 years that the Hawks have been interested in him.
Right.
Nothing's come of it.
I think we drafted the other one in hopes of.
Yes, and then traded him.
Yeah.
James Van Riemsdyk back home in Philly. There, James Neal, the former star of the upstart Vegas Golden Knights, has signed in Calgary a 5-year deal. And then to replace him, Paul Stastny goes to Vegas. Erik Karlsson potentially on the move to Vegas. There's trade talks in the works. Apparently Karlsson has been speaking with, quote, multiple GMs, the other team.
Multiple sources.
Yes, multiple sources. The other team is believed to be Tampa Bay. I don't know for sure. I never fact-checked that and just frankly don't know how I'd figure it out. But the two teams suspected are Vegas and Tampa Bay. The idea is both teams want to talk contract extension before they make a deal. Going to be a big deal. A lot of moving pieces, a lot of assets going to Ottawa, and obviously one of the best, if not the best defenseman in the game coming to either Tampa Bay, which would be just outrageous, or Las Vegas.
Right. I mean, with Tampa, Hedman's signed to big money already, if I'm not mistaken. So that would be just, and if you put those two guys together.
That's the greatest top line.
Terrifying.
Since a young Duncan Keith and Brent Seabrook roamed around the league.
Oh, of course. I mean, those two are monsters. They could almost stop an elevator. Vegas, it's so hard to tell what they're going to do because you don't, I mean, it's
they have money.
Team.
They're good. Like, they played so well last year. You really don't know.
They inflated every single one of their players' trade stock. Like, every single one of them got better.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of, and I almost.
It's a destination. Guys want to play there.
They want to play there now. The fan base is great. And away teams have trouble there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
especially on multiple days rest. I wonder why.
You put a 22-year-old kid from,
Saskatchewan.
Yeah, Saskatchewan or Scandinavia and send him to Vegas.
Labrador.
What the hell do you think they're going to do on it with a day off?
Right. The Hawks.
R.I.P.
Yeah, they're dead. Cam Ward signs 1 year, $3 million, presumably the backup of Corey Crawford, potentially his replacement if Crawford is still hurt / not back to his same level. We both have thoughts on that, so I'll push that aside for now. Just to mention Brandon Manning, atrocious signing.
Oh, man.
Atrocious signing. 2 years, $2.25 million per year for a guy that scored, I think he had 12 points last season.
Didn't he say he was super excited to hear Chelsea Dagger?
Yes.
I mean, you could still hear it from the bench. Yes. So he's not wrong. But, oh, man, when I saw that, first I was thinking, we had a previous Manning on the 2010 team, didn't we?
I don't it was John Madden.
Madden, okay. It was John Madden. I'm getting my football greats mixed up here. But, you know, maybe that's what they were going for this time around.
Cousin of Peyton.
Yeah, it might as well be. I don't know. He's more, looks like more of a Cooper Manning kind of guy. But, yes. You know, you have to question it, but you can't get mad at them. They did so well for so long, and it's not.
I mean, you look at Pittsburgh though. Pittsburgh's done better for longer.
Yeah, but I don't know. I still don't hate on Hawks management, but they're making it hard to keep defending them over and over and over again. When the one thing that they don't keep giving us is, in fact, defense.
Yes, and then Chris Kunitz signed a 1-year deal for $1 million. 39 years old.
He's going to
play fourth. Yeah, younger and more athletic. Probably a fourth liner. His wife's from Chicago. He likes the area. I can't hate the signing just because it's $1 million. Like, it's right. Nothing. They have cap space this year. It's not like last season when they had nothing and, you know, they're trying to sign somebody. But we'll get back to the Cam Ward signing. 1 year, $3 million is not anything dangerous or bad for your books or anything of that sort. However, there are goalies of equal level that have signed for half the money as they did, including his replacement in Carolina, Peter Mrazek. 1 year, $1.5 million.
I'm a big Mrazek guy.
I would say at least the same level, if not better, than Cam Ward in terms of skill. And instead, we're overpaying an old goalie that really has seen his best years way behind him in the rear view.
Goalies are such a crapshoot, though, right?
So they are.
Last year, we had to deal Scott Darling because he would have gotten probably taken away by Vegas. So we might as well have gotten something for him, is my take from what the Hawks did. And he was statistically probably one of the worst goalie. He had one of the worst goalie years of any goalie of all time. So now you look at Cam Ward, who had a decent season last year as Darling's backup because he had to.
Mm-hmm.
And it could go one of two ways. He could be really bad or he could be really good. Throw the money aside. It was way too much money to pay for him, but we're groveling over $1 million, which we just gave them credit for signing Kunitz for $1 million. So the reason I'm not happy with this signing, but I'm not as mad as you are, is because had they signed a higher caliber goalie, that is a sign to me that Crawford is more likely than not going to be playing next year. If you go after a Hutton, maybe Crawford is more hurt than we think he is with that upper body injury, a.k.a. the concussion.
It's outrageous that they call a head injury an upper body injury.
They're, you know, it's vague, but it's not wrong. So definitely a crapshoot. I don't hate it. I like that it's 1 year. I mean, just like, was it 2 or 3 years ago, we re-signed Hobby Bullen again. He was like 43 at the time, so we've been dumber.
8 DUIs later.
Yeah, you know what? The Bullen wall finally crumbled down.
Finally. So, yeah. It's one of those things like, yeah, $1.5 million. I was just commenting on them signing $1 million. Like, the idea is you have a cheaper replacement at the same level. That's the thing I grapple with.
Who arguably plays at a higher level, too. I think right. Mrazek has the ability to take over a game more than Ward does, but I think Ward stays in the middle realm of talent more often.
There's less extremes, yeah.
Yeah, he's more consistently okay than Mrazek. Mrazek either gives up zero or gives up five. So we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it's backup goalies. It's a crapshoot. It's impossible to tell. You never know who's going to be who. You can get a Ray Emery 1 year, and you can get
11-0-1. Or
you can get a Marty Turco the next.
Right. Marty Turco was the starter at the time, which is why Crawford came up and excelled. So we love you, Marty Turco.
Yeah, thank you for that.
When healthy, Crawford, in my opinion, is a top five goalie in the league.
Yes.
His only problem is not getting too drunk at Rise Against concerts and breaking your feet.
Fucking right, Chicago.
Yeah, my guy. So hopefully Crawford's healthy, and we won't have to worry about this at all.
Yep. The NBA, here we go. The offseason is in full swing, and we've seen some just absolutely chaotic things happen. LeBron to L.A. Everybody knew it was coming. Finally happened. Four-year, $154 million deal, give or take a couple bucks. Cool. This is not a basketball move. He does not care about basketball anymore. I'm going to say it right now. I'll repeat it again for the people in the back. LeBron James no longer cares about basketball. He did not make a basketball decision. This is a personal life and a post-basketball move. He went where he can make money, which was any team in the league, but he wanted to live in L.A. He has tons of movies that he's producing. He has tons of projects that he wants to get involved with. There are so many intriguing parts of life in Los Angeles that he could not have in Cleveland, that he could not have in Dallas, that he couldn't have in Houston, that he couldn't have anywhere else other than L.A. Maybe New York, but New York didn't have the money to sign him. Philly, no shot. This is the only place he could go.
I would have loved a Clippers signing by that logic, though.
That would have been incredible.
If he really, you know, I agree with you about halfway. I think he doesn't really care about basketball that much, but if he really didn't care, he's a Clipper right now. This tells me one thing, the most important thing. I like it or leave it. Space Jam 2 is on.
Fuck.
It's on.
Fuck.
He's probably going to... He has already, what, two houses out there? He's probably a 20-minute drive from Bugs Bunny at any given moment.
Yeah. Bugs might live with him at this point. They want to get their camaraderie and, you know, the...
Rapport.
Yeah.
And, yeah, the back and forth that we really don't have.
This is a really good point. I didn't think of that.
Yeah. And then... I don't know, I'm not even mad at him for it. Do your thing. I mean, his kid's going to be playing better basketball, right? If you're playing
I couldn't care less at this point. LeBron is so irrelevant to me. Because
I don't think he wins there.
No, absolutely not. And it's because of, I'm going to skip over the Paul George thing for a minute, but it's because Boogie Cousins signs a mid-level exception. That's $5.3 million for a single year with the Golden State Warriors. They now have five All-Stars on their team. Once he gets healthy from his ruptured Achilles, which he won't have to rush back from because Golden State will probably be in the playoffs by the time he gets back, he will be healthy, he'll be ready to play, and then he's playing for a max deal for the next offseason. Really smart move by Boogie.
That was genius.
Really smart move by Golden State. Boston should have been in there. The rumor is they were there in the final two, but, I mean, they also said that 29 of the 30 teams didn't offer him a contract. The only team that did was Golden State. And, I mean, if that's the case, you got to take it.
Yeah, I mean, what a move by the agent, right?
Yeah. It's a brilliant move.
You know, by far the favorites to get a ring. Not even close. And Boogie gets to get healthy. That was one of the nastiest ones I've seen in a while.
Yeah.
The Paul George one was probably one of the nastiest.
That was real bad. The stanchion.
Yeah.
Never folds.
Yeah. But the Boogie one was pretty nasty, and it was right before a nice little playoff push. They really could have used them. They had a great.
They still made the push, though.
They had a great.
Fuck the Bulls over.
Yeah, and you know what?
Now we have Chandler Hutchison. Thanks, New Orleans.
Actually, I'm gonna come at you with that one.
Oh,
Chandler
God.
Hutchison's a monster, and he's going
in the
to,
Mountain West.
He's going to be better.
You know who else was a monster in the Mountain West? Shea McClellan.
Cross sports, yes. I'm gonna tell you right now. From the one game I watched him play against Illinois State.
He was very, look, he I said it when he was in college. I think he's a very good player. However, he's like 23 years old. He has a great wingspan. That's about it. He doesn't shoot the ball very well.
He drives really well.
He's,
one. Two, his parents keep their mouths shut. I love that.
I want Lonzo, though. If we're gonna go
I'm
there.
I'm going after Wendell Carter on this one.
Oh,
that's
even better,
what I'm
yeah.
talking about.
Well, you know, college basketball is slavery.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah, but Lonzo is coming to the Bulls.
He will, hopefully. Fingers crossed.
You know why? Because LeVar can coach Chicago State.
Yes. Oh, my God.
And it'd be perfect.
The NCAA will grant Melo his eligibility back. They're there. Done. All of a sudden, Chicago State's back on the board.
If that's not on the table right now, what the hell are you doing, Garpax? Because it's what? It's a couple blocks away. Or not? I mean, I'm thinking
it's
Malcolm,
a stone's
Malcolm
throw.
Malcolm X College you could even go for.
Yeah.
It would be right by the stadium. You could check up on Lonzo. And then
it's a stone's throw away.
Yeah.
We got off track. But yes, Boogie.
Oh, we were right on track.
Boogie to Golden State. They've officially won the NBA title. Congratulations to them. The East is wide open. By that, I mean it's pretty much Boston. Maybe Toronto has a chance. Maybe Milwaukee if they figure things out. The Bulls are 100% a playoff team next year, which sucks.
That's really terrible.
And then the other big news in the NBA, free agency, that is. Paul George commits to stay in Oklahoma City. So LeBron thought he was getting Kawhi Leonard and Paul George to play with. Instead, he's got Lance Stephenson and JaVale McGee.
Yeah, that's a little tough. I'm curious. There's no real good explanation of why Paul George re-signed money-wise. Fantastic money.
Yeah.
But
if he was going to do this, he could have just stayed in Indiana and made like $80 million more.
You still have Carmelo Anthony on that team.
Yeah.
He is terrible.
Well, okay, this is what I'm thinking. Next offseason, Melo's gone. His deal is done. That's $28 million off the books. They can sign a max deal next year.
No, yeah, absolutely.
Who are they going for, though? I don't know. Are they hoping Kawhi sits out and try to get him to Oklahoma? Could you imagine going from San Antonio to Oklahoma City?
You know what? Basketball's in trouble in Oklahoma City. The fans are not feeling it anymore.
I wouldn't either.
I mean, you lost.
You have Carmelo Anthony.
Well, it's not even that, right? You had the three best players in the three of the top five best players in the NBA on your team at once.
They wouldn't pay James Harden. Think about this: 4 years, $80 million.
Yeah,
or maybe it was 60. It was one of those two.
Dellavedova gets like 70% of that right now.
Yes, Ersan Ilyasova, Timofey Mozgov, and Evan Turner signed $75 million deals last summer.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
So, you know what? The fans are probably mad. The expansion talks to Seattle make it even weirder. Who knows? There's a lot going on. I think expansion would almost save the NBA now.
That's exactly what I was going to say, too. Adam Silver is getting trashed right now for not keeping parity in the league and not really stopping tanking. Because what's the point? Like, if you're Memphis right now, or if you're Atlanta, or if you're even the Bulls, What benefit do you have trying to make the playoffs? You know you're not going to win. You cannot, in a seven-game series, beat the Golden State Warriors.
Bulls lead in attendance every year. A tank, clearly a bad product, is not stopping Bulls fans from going to games against my, you know, pleading of them not to go, right? Because if you start, you know, not going to those games, it says, hey, maybe this team should be better. For those other teams you mentioned, though, there's nothing stopping them from tanking. Now,
like what? Because Memphis is going to get – they got Jaren Jackson, absolute stud. Mm-hmm. Next year, they can get a Zion Williamson. They can get a Cam Reddish. They can get any of these stud players.
Yeah, there's no and reason all of a sudden, not to, yeah.
All of a sudden, you've got two dominant big men that you can build around for the next 10 years.
Yeah, no, it's a smart thing to do is to win 8 games the entire season, yeah. Honestly. And why wouldn't they?
Yeah, that's the problem. So – do the right thing, Adam Silver, or David Stern. Make the call.
Get back in there.
Make the call. Get Seattle back.
Well, the only problem with that is that we still have not gotten an explanation of why Chris Paul trade never went through.
Right.
And the moves that are going on now are, I wouldn't say infinitely more egregious or infinitely more, you know, but
there's the brief explanation we were given was that it corrupted league fairness or something. Exact same thing that's happening right now.
I mean, having different popcorn prices could corrupt league fairness that's by true. That explanation. I mean, some argue, some possibly say that there's a reason why Paul George did not sign with the Lakers is because he was told you're not allowed to.
It's possible.
Which would
I don't know if I believe it, but it's possible.
It's just shot in the dark. Who knows?
It's out there. It's out there, folks. And then, as we mentioned before, Kawhi Leonard... he has threatened to sit out again next season if he's not traded. He wants to go to L.A. He wants to be a Laker. I don't think it's because he wants to play with LeBron. I think he just wants to play in a big city. If I'm the Spurs and I don't get a good enough offer, I just let him sit.
Yeah.
He's wasting his life.
You know, I'm doing the same thing with him that I'm doing with Carmelo, is have him sit and hopefully ask for the buyout.
Well, I have been on record as benching Mellow.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, but I would have amnesty clause him a long time ago.
Yeah.
Long time ago.
But Kawhi is, like, so 3 years ago, was it 3 or 4 years ago when the Spurs won the title? Or
yeah.
Yeah, they beat Golden State to get into the finals.
And, yes.
Yeah, whatever it was.
Yes, and then...
everyone was talking about how what a team player Kawhi Leonard was. Great defender, which he still is. And then all of a sudden, Popovich turns on him a little bit, and... he's off his leash.
He gets tough love.
It's tough love, which he desperately needs more of, clearly. And he's being a baby, and that's one of the big problems with the NBA. They don't have that many divas, but the divas are aggressive.
Yes.
And then when we find a player like Kawhi, who we didn't think was a diva, start acting like a diva, we get so upset because we feel so betrayed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, send him to Sacramento if he wants to be in California so bad.
Love that move.
Yeah.
Get him the hell out of there. Get him into Sacramento. Vlade will take care of him.
Does he have no trade clause somewhere?
I don't think so.
So.
Have fun.
Tough, man.
See ya.
Go to the Orlando Magic. Have fun.
Cap City, California.
Yeah. You know, he should go to Orlando because then he could be in every big city he wants to at Epcot.
Yeah, that's a very good point. All over the world, too.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what's holding you back?
It's nothing at that point. Just the ride height requirement. Kawhi but I think the he's Magic, tall enough.
You've heard it here first. Although they just signed that huge contract, $84 million with...
Aaron Gordon?
Yeah. So we'll see.
Yep, that is the NBA breakdown. We'll definitely have more on that as things unfold, but we'll move on to our top five, and it is movies to watch on the 4th of July. Nick, I will let you open because you don't want to hear my five. I can guarantee it. What are yours?
Number five... Spider-Man 1, the Tobey Maguire version.
Okay.
One, you could probably count. It takes about two hands to count how many American flags he swings by. It was like a very closely after 9/11, so time for that patriotism.
Yeah.
You also get Macho Man Randy Savage. In
true.
There. No, there's
Bonesaw is ready.
Bonesaw is ready, RIP. And you have New Yorkers commentating on the man that is swinging around the city, which there's really no better, more American thing to see. When they were doing his coming-of-age moment throughout. Number four, Armageddon.
Great film.
Not only did they save America, they saved the whole planet.
Yeah.
So
Harry Stamper.
Yeah.
Permission to shake the hand of the daughter of the most heroic man I've ever met in my life.
Steve Buscemi.
Steve Buscemi.
My guy. Name a bad movie he's been in. I don't want to hear it.
On a jet plane.
Number three, The Sandlot. This is definitely on your list.
Yeah.
I don't know where you put it.
Highly underrated.
I mean, 25th anniversary. Yeah. They just all threw out, not all of them, but they threw out the first pitch at the Dodger game a couple weeks ago, and some of them look fantastic, and some of them do not.
Some of them do not.
Here's the question nobody's asking. Why is a 40-something-year-old Benny the Jet Rodriguez pinch-running at third base at the end of a Dodger game?
You mean Jose Valentin. Why is Jose Valentin pinch-running?
Right,
pinch
so run? If you do the math of how old they are from when they were kids, this is in the twilight of Benny Rodriguez's career.
And he's still stealing home.
Who's pinch-running at third base?
That's a good point as well. I don't know. No. I can't answer that question.
I've been waiting to hear the answer. I don't think I ever will get it.
Tommy Lasorda has the answer. You just have to go seek him out.
Yeah, we don't have much time.
No, we don't. Hurry.
Yeah. Number two, the Patriot. Where it all began. Yeah. Why are we celebrating? Because Mel Gibby did some mad, bad shit.
Well, because, spoiler alert, Heath Ledger, his son gets killed, and then Mel Gibson has to go avenge him.
Right. Hopefully you have all seen it.
Too bad if you haven't.
Yeah. We won. And then, number one, Miracle. Who do you play for?
The United States of America.
Goddamn right you do.
That's a good list.
If you didn't notice, I dropped my list as if it were a mic.
I had two of the same ones, so I'll just mention where I had those ones, and then I'll read the two alternates I had. I don't know why I only picked two, but I had two, and that's exactly how many you had. Number five is Born on the 4th of July. All-time classic movie.
Title alone, right?
Yep. Number four, Forrest Gump. Takes you through a lot of the major moments in American history.
If you have the time on 4th of July to watch the whole movie, you probably should have made better plans, but excellent choice regardless.
Or
just on in the background.
Or it's one of those where after you're done grilling, swimming, boating, whatever you do, you just sit down and decompress, nap a little bit, wake up in the Vietnam scene, nap again, wake up and Jenny has AIDS, and then you're good to go.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's no better way to get through the meat sweats than watching, like, Vietnam firebomb explosions.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so why not?
Number three, your favorite movie of all time, Independence Day.
My least favorite movie of all time.
Your favorite movie of all time.
Take It to the Bank. That is the worst movie ever made.
Nope. Number two, I had The Patriot. I will change it with Team America, World Police.
I love that pick so much.
So good.
And it's still appropriate to this day.
Yes, it is.
Very, current.
Yes. I had The Sandlot at number one, which is why I thought you underrated the movie horribly. Beer Fest is my new number one. The United States goes into drinking competition with other countries around the world and beats the Germans for the second time in a major war. Hats off to us.
Third time,
yeah.
Yeah, you can't forget about World War One. You know what? I think instead of replacing The Sandlot at one, you push everyone down and put your replacements in. But, yeah, I mean, 80% of your list is phenomenal.
Independence Day
is the worst movie
I think
of all
100%
time.
Of my list. Or if we're going out of the seven, it's like, 100% still, but you would say something like 87%. But anyways,
Hold on.
Five.
I got a question about that movie.
Sure.
How are you hacking into an alien spaceship with an old Macintosh computer?
I mean, I have one right here. I can do it for you if you want to see.
You know, that'll be an after the show thing.
Yeah. As always, you can check us out. Let us know what you think, what your five would be at LMBF Sports on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. We will move on to our stats. I have a ton, so if you want to go first.
I have one.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, so I'll let you go. Came from a Jesse Rogers tweet, beat writer for the Cubs. During the game today, Hayward up, last AB, he earned his 24th oppo hit of the year. Had 23 all of last season, and then the next hit goes to right field. So
look at that.
He's
hitting the ball.
I love to see it. He is a prime Padre candidate, let me tell you.
Please, for the love of God, let us trade him. Please. I want Bruce Harper in a Cubs jersey.
Yeah. It would be, I love Jason Hayward. Probably one of the nicest guys on the team from all accounts. Everyone says he's the man. But so far, he's not lived up to that contract. This year he is, though. So
yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
Great arm, too. So if he sticks around, I have no problem with it. But I also want to make room for Bryce Harper. And a new TV deal will help with that, but now you have to have space for him in the outfield.
So. Exactly. All right, I've got a bunch. My first one, some of these are a little old because we didn't do a show last week, but Oregon State owns 28 two-out RBI in the 2018 College World Series, which is the most of any team since 1999. During Oregon State's
Great
first
year, 99.
Yeah, during Oregon State's first College World Series appearance in 05, the Beavers had 0 two-out RBI, and the entire College World Series field had 31. In 15 games played.
My favorite part about that whole stat is the fact that you use the proper RBI
Yes, not RBIs.
RBIs is not a thing.
No, it's RBI.
It's not runs batted ins.
It's runs batted in.
Correct.
In one N. Javi Baez has now homered from all nine spots in the order as a starter in his MLB career.
Thank you, Joe Maddon, for batting him ninth.
Yep.
So he can do that. I think he was looking forward to that. Maddon always says if he can hit a slider, he's like Manny Ramirez.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I doubt
he's
it.
He's a better
but
fielder
yeah.
than Manny Ramirez.
Yeah. So. I don't think he's as good a hitter, though.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Only time will tell.
The Mariners have 24 one-run wins this season. That was as of June 26th. It is July 4th, so obviously a little bit of time has passed since then. That's a lot. And 2017 Astros had 19, 2016 Cubs had 22, 2015 Royals had 23, and the 14 Giants had 18. The team with the most that I saw was the 05 White Sox. Shout out, Bovard, 35.
Yeah, that Mariners seems interesting, right? Because you have all the guys you didn't expect to be doing well, killing it. Haniger, D. Gordon's doing really well. And then all the guys you expected to be doing well are out for steroids. So it kind of just depends. You know what? They love their steroids in Seattle. They do. Rich Franklin back in the day.
Canseco.
Yeah, you had, I mean, D. Gordon did before. Now he's here. I mean, Robinson Cano, Nelson Cruz. So
speaking of the Mariners, they absolutely crushed Push the Clock Forward night with the like new futuristic jerseys where they're essentially basketball jerseys and D. Gordon's wearing the backwards hat with all the armbands on.
That was great. And then what was the other thing? Oh, yeah. Felix Hernandez has never pitched in a playoff game.
I know.
But what I've been noticing is that he is not turning into an old man pitcher very well. He's still trying to groove fastballs and it's just not going to work. But he hasn't been getting burned yet, so
yet.
Maybe he's figured something out, but it's only a matter of time. You got to do what old pitchers do and learn knuckleballs.
Vaseline the ball. That's what you need to do. Two more stats real quick. Based on current roster projections, the five oldest teams in the NHL are Detroit, Los Angeles, New York Islanders, Minnesota Wild, and the Chicago Blackhawks.
And all those teams were playoff teams like 3 years ago. Like
what a
all
turn!
At once, right?
What a turn! There at the beginning of this decade, it was who is going to be the better of the two teams, the Blackhawks or the Kings? And the answer is the Penguins.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, and so can we even call the Hawks or the Kings a dynasty? First
yes,
5 years,
of you can.
Decade? Yeah,
you can because
both of them?
Those teams. Yeah.
The Kings only won twice, though.
I know, but they both won intermittently. Like, if it weren't for the other team, they would have won.
Right. Yeah, I would say so. But I'd give it to the Hawks over the Kings. Hockey's the hardest sport to do a dynasty.
For sure.
The salary cap, I mean.
Fucking Hawks, Canadian dollar.
Yeah, Hawks won in 2010, and they had to decide, do we get rid of Niemi, our Stanley Cup winning goalie, or do we get rid of one of our best defenders, young Nicholas Hjalmarsson? They chose
made the right choice.
Made the right choice, absolutely. I mean, Niemi's had a middle-of-the-road NHL career, but... I mean,
Cam Ward-esque
very career. Cam Ward-esque career, yes.
Look at that. We tie full circle here, folks.
They both have a cup to their name, too, so...
The last one is Nerlens Noel will make $3.5 million over 2 years with the Thunder. Last season, he turned down a four-year, $70 million offer from the Mavericks.
That's right. Did he not play last year? Or am I losing my mind?
I couldn't tell you if he played or not.
I
just
remember
he didn't sign that deal.
He thought he could get more and then just didn't.
Yep.
Yeah. Wow.
And here he is.
I never liked that pick initially. I just never even really watched him play that much in college. I just hated that top fade.
It is what it is at this point. We'll move on to our tweets. I just have one. LeVar talking about one of the quote Chicago ballers for his JBA Junior Basketball Association. It is Kizo Brown. Local kid from Chicago. Anyone who knows him knows he's a great player. Just had a couple issues going on. Kizo did a great job. We were having a scrimmage, and he made one bucket. And I said, I'm that guy. I told him if he was really that guy, he didn't have to say anything. Today, I liked his poise. He remembered what I said to let his game speak for itself. And the only reason I pointed that out is because it's so unbelievably ridiculous that LaVar Ball is telling people not to run their mouth.
I was just thinking that, like, I had not heard that tweet, and I was just thinking to myself, LaVar Ball is Mr. Do As I Say, Not As I Do.
Yes.
So,
LaVar speaking from the heart, saying, hey, you know what, bud, let your game do the talking, unlike my entire life and property and everything I've gotten to this point.
I mean, all the coaching greats are Do As I Say, Not As I Do. You don't see, you know,
true.
Popovich dribbling up and down the court.
True.
Or, you know, And most of the time, the former player coaches were never that great. I mean, you
Jason
got
Kidd.
Luke Walton. Jason Kidd. Right? Yeah, but kidding. He's a terrible coach.
Yeah.
Right?
So, it's complete inverse.
Ty Lue is...
Yeah.
Yeah, who knows? My tweet comes from a favorite of the show and probably not a listener of the show, Zach Braff. In regards to...
Not yet.
We're working on it.
He's not a big sports guy.
Well, he just lost his new show, so he's got some time on his hands.
Yeah. Alex Inc. about podcasts
got canceled. So that is bad news for us. But anyway, he tweeted, "I wonder if the people of England will drink tonight." Well, the game ended about 10:45-ish England time, give or take. I probably just made that up, but I was just thinking out loud. Yeah, it ended about
almost 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
So, almost 11 o'clock, right?
Yeah. That's a good guess.
Definitely going to be drinking tonight. I can assure you that.
100%.
But they drink every night, so is it really that special? I don't know. I just thought it was a goofy little,
That's a very Zach Braff tweet.
That was Zach Braff just trying to tell the world that he actually watched a soccer game today.
Yeah, he watched sport ball.
He did.
Good for him.
Yeah, why not?
And as always, what are you looking forward to this weekend?
No doubt, 4th of July, but also a bachelor party.
Oh!
Bachelor party weekend. I will be going to a Chicago Dogs game.
Beautiful.
As a Chicago Dogs day one fan.
Yep.
And then Milwaukee for some brewery tours. So
the Pabst is beautiful, just so you know.
It'll be like a 40% tour of the NL Central, pretty much.
Yeah, that's a nice little run there.
Yeah, so can't complain about what's ahead for me.
Yeah, I'm definitely just going to watch some World Cup soccer, hope there's some news in the NBA, and maybe the Hawks will make a trade. Who knows? Maybe they'll make me pull the gun out of my mouth, because it's there, it's locked and loaded.
Here's the thing, though, with the trades.
They've been terrible lately.
I was going to say, we're excited for trades to come, but the last
because
bunch of
trades... Because they can't be worse than the trades we've had.
If you look at this the starting lines, there's almost no way this could be the squad coming in. It just looks so bad.
If you just look at the defense alone, that's not possible.
Yeah, don't be fooled by the old names. But yeah, we'll see.
As always, you can check us out, letmebefrankblog.com, at LMBF Sports on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And have a great 4th of July, and we'll see you next week.
Spacious skies, far amber waves of grain, far purple mountain majesties. Above the fruited plain. But now wait a minute. America, sweet America,